going to begin my talk by talking about some theoretical modeling work that I've done with Laura Jones. And I'm going to follow that up by giving some results of some field experimentation we've done with northern corn rootworms, western corn rootworms, and European corn borers to try and test some of the theoretical predictions we've made. So agricultural landscapes can be highly variable in the size of fields, also in the diversity of crops that are grown, and the amount of land that's devoted towards agriculture compared to land kept in, say, perennial forests or perennial grasses. And you can see this contrast here in a picture of Iowa versus upstate New York, where I've done my research. And so this work is focused on understanding how the percentage of the landscape dominated by one particular type of habitat might be affecting pest dynamics. So here in the left, you can imagine a landscape that's dominated by a lot of corn, where each patch here represents a cornfield, compared to a landscape where there's not a lot of corn. And so if there were crop rotation going on, you would see that the location of the fields would change, but the proportion of habitat in the landscape would remain relatively constant. So here, you can imagine that insects would have an easier time getting from one field to another because of their proximity on average, and that would lead to higher immigration rates among fields, and that may lead to population density build-ups in a high corn region compared to a low corn region. And we explored this idea more precisely by developing a spatially explicit model. And so how it works is we start with initial population seated in a landscape, and the landscape consists of corn patches where the insects can survive and non-corn patches. And the insects disperse in space, and each year the location of the cornfields will change, simulating crop rotation. So then the insects land in a new landscape. If they happen to land in a patch that's not corn, they die. If they land in a patch that is corn, they survive and can reproduce, and that leads to new set of populations, and we repeat this process through time. And our goal with this research was to track insect populations in two contrasting landscapes, one with a lot of corn and one with not a lot of corn, while holding other parameters constant to test the effects of landscapes on population dynamics. So to provide a little more detail of the work, in figure A is a simulation of a high corn landscape. In figure B is a simulation of a low corn landscape. And we had three land use types. In green, we have non-agriculture, so you can imagine that's forests or, say, perennial grasses. In brown, we have patches that are corn. And in white, we have patches that are agriculture but not corn. So you can imagine, say, soybeans or hay crops. And our high corn scenario is 50% corn, our low corn scenario is 20% corn, and we simulated crop rotation by every year we keep the green patches in the same places, but we redistribute the locations of the brown and white patches, so the corn agriculture and the non-corn agriculture can change and rotate through time. And we model dispersal here. We have a dispersal kernel taken from a paper by Qureshi et al. In 2005. And what we can see in the figure here, with dispersal probability in the y-axis and the distance dispersed on the x-axis, is that most insects are going to stay in the same place, but there's a small probability that they'll disperse a fair distance. And there's also an equal probability that they'll disperse in any direction away from a native patch. So these are our preliminary results. Here on the left, we're tracking the number of pests per cornfield, and on the x-axis we have the simulation through time. This figure here on the right, we're tracking the percentage of infested cornfields. And so we run the simulation. We started by seeding the 5% of the landscape, or 5% of the corn patches, with 50 insects. And here in the red is a high corn landscape scenario, compared to here in the orange is a low corn landscape scenario. So what we see, our major prediction so far, is that the density of pests in a high corn landscape is going to be higher than in a low corn landscape, which we had kind of expected. We see that 100% of the fields rapidly become infested in the high corn scenario, but that eventually all the fields also become infested in the low corn scenario, and we see a lot more variability in the data in the low corn scenario also. So switching gears towards our field research, we tested specifically the hypothesis that corn pests will be more abundant in regions where there is more corn acreage. So in 2006, we looked at corn pests in four regions of upstate New York. Two regions here where there's relatively high amounts of corn produced, and two regions here in orange where there's relatively low amounts of corn produced. And each region here is 40 kilometers in diameter. And in 2007, we increased our sample size to compare three high corn regions compared to three low corn regions. And the insects we were tracking were northern and western corn rootworms. And we tracked their populations by using sticky currents. And we sampled their populations once a week from late July through early September. We also looked at European corn borers by looking at their damage to corn. And we looked at that one time a year in early September. And our criteria for picking fields was that they were all first-year corn fields, non-BT, where no area insecticide was used. We looked at 46 fields distributed through our four landscapes in 2006 and 36 fields distributed in the six regions in 2007. And in each field, we had four subsamples distributed in two transects in the field. And these are our results for the last two summers of work. So in the top row here are three graphs from data from 2006. Here are three graphs in the bottom row here from 2007. We have data from western corn rootworms, northern corn rootworms, and European corn borers. And so what we see in 2006, the western corn rootworms showed a trend towards indeed having higher population densities in the high corn regions here on the left of the graphs compared to the low corn regions here on the right. And in 2007, when we increased the sample size, the data was indeed significant for the rootworms. However, we did not see any effect of the landscapes on the European corn borers. And so our major conclusions with our research so far are that regional land use patterns may indeed be important factors in pest dynamics. We saw significant effects on the rootworms, but we didn't see it with the European corn borers. And from our modeling work, we hypothesized that the mechanism by which landscapes may be affecting pest dynamics is that when suitable habitat is abundant in the landscape, the immigration rates among the patches is high, and that this leads to the population buildup. And like most research, it's led to more questions. And so what we're pursuing right now is trying to see if we can make generalizations about how land use patterns may affect different types of insect species. So why were we seeing significant results with the rootworms, but not the European corn borers? And we're specifically exploring how differences in dispersal behavior and also diet breadth might be affecting the interactions between landscapes and insect dynamics. And then more generally, since dispersal is really a driving factor in our model, we'd like to refine our understanding of insect dispersal and work on new methodology, perhaps, to get a better handle on that. So, and with that, thank you, and I'll take any questions you might have.
How, when you started your sampling season, how could you predict there was going to be no aerial applications? I'm curious about that. You've got to select your field, start sampling, and you start sampling early, continuing through. In the relationship to the growers, how did you assure that, in fact, that was going to be followed?
So the question was, how would I assure that aerial insecticides wouldn't have been used in my field selection? So what I ended up doing is I coordinated with a bunch of extension agents in upstate New York. They linked me up with growers, and I would go to the growers and kind of interview them, have them show me where their first-year corn fields were, and you know, I asked them specifically, is this non-BT, and would there be no aerial insecticides? And of course, maybe some emergency would happen, but it never happened. No aerial insecticides were used. What we weren't able to do, and I think the data is interesting that it actually still comes out significant, is you know, we didn't control for factors like planting date and management tactics and the surrounding landscape, how much BT is used or how much soil insecticide. So despite all that variability, I think it's really interesting that we still see significant results.
So, what do you think is the effect of rotation? You've got the difference between the corn borer and the root borers. The rotation is used to control the root borers. It has no effect on controlling corn borers.
Yeah, the question is, how does crop rotation maybe play into the differences that we see between the effects on the rootworms versus the corn borers? So with the model simulation, definitely the crop rotation is a major factor. So, you know, if there is no crop rotation, whatever is in that native field, there's a high probability they're going to stay there, and that field builds up through time. How does that factor into the difference between the results with rootworms and corn borers? I'm not sure. Because crop rotation, in a sense, it's kind of like simulating, say, a major insecticide event or something like that. And so we want to add those kind of factors into the model. And so we will explore that, but I'm not quite sure.
How do you think further characterization of the non-agricultural crops, like forage versus hay, would affect the model?
So how would characterization of the non-agricultural crops affect the model? So one thing I've also done is take data on how the perennial crops are affecting natural enemies. And I don't have data on parasitoids just because they're hard to measure, but I do have it, say, on lady beetles. And so what I see is this positive trend towards the perennial crops and ladybugs. And so what I've been wondering is, there's this trophic cascade of the perennial habitats affecting the natural enemies at the same time that they're simultaneously affecting the herbivores themselves. So I think there could be cascading effects.
All right, that's all the time we have.